Now, if you're participating online and you've done so before today, then you're going to see today's message is obviously very different than what you're used to, presented in a significantly different way by someone other than me. It still comes from the Bible, and we're going to have this special speaker today who kind of stepped right out of the pages of the Bible, out of the ancient Old Testament history. And he has an important message for us, and I'll just let him introduce himself.
It is always good to be with people of thankful heart. As the sweet psalmist of Israel, some of my fondest memories are of times when God's people gathered together in great celebrations of worship and of praise and of giving thanks unto God. I can remember one time in particular, God's people had gathered together from all over the 12 tribes. The streets of Jerusalem were flooded with people who were anxiously waiting to enter the gates of the house of the Lord. And as they were waiting, they looked to me and they said, King David, teach us a new song to sing. Teach us to be thankful unto God. And so, on that special occasion, I taught them this song to sing for the very first time. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures into all generations. Yes, it is good to be with people of thankful heart. God raised me up from a shepherd boy to be the king of all Israel. And from shepherd boy to king, I learned many reasons why I ought to give thanks unto God. And as I share some of those with you just now, I hope they'll be an encouragement to you that you will be more thankful to him. Why am I thankful to God? I'm thankful, first of all, because he's the creator of the beauty of the heavens and the earth. As a shepherd boy, it was my duty to take care of my father's sheep. And I spent many a lonesome day and many a lonesome night out under the open sky. And one day I remember just finally getting the sheep to settle down for the night. And for the first time, I was able to sit down on the grassy hillside and rest. And as I looked up into the sky, my heart was just filled with a sense of God's presence and God's greatness and God's glory. And I just could not hold myself back. And I began to sing this song to God. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And as I sang that song to God, two things occurred to me. It occurred to me, first of all, that only a fool can say in his heart there is no God. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky shows forth his handiwork. And then it occurred to me that if the heavens are so bright and beautiful, then how much more bright and beautiful and glorious and majestic must the creator of all these things be? Yes, I'm grateful that he has created this beauty that we see around us. And give him thanks. Tell him how great he is. Give him the glory that he deserves, and thank him for the beauty of the heavens and the earth. Why am I thankful to God? I'm thankful also because he's the rock of my salvation. When God delivered me from the hand of King Saul and from the hand of all my enemies, I sang to him the words of this song. I love you, O Lord, my strength. My God is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, and my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he delivers me from my enemies. Though my enemies advance against me to devour my flesh, they stumble and fall. Though an army attack me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, in this I'll be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this one thing I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. For in the time of trouble, he will keep me. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. He will set me high upon a rock. The Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. No wonder God's people can sing with me the words of another song that I wrote. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yes, he is the rock of my salvation. And I'm grateful that the God of creation is also the rock of my salvation. I know that you have much for which to be thankful for in that same way, because he has sent his son, the Messiah, whom I often spoke of in the Psalms 1,000 years in advance. He has sent him to be the rock of your salvation. So give thanks and praise him for what he has done. Why am I thankful to God? I'm thankful because he gives me strength when I'm weak. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you're King David. What do you know about being weak? But you probably forget that I was the youngest and the scrawniest of 8 brothers, the sons of Jesse. And I well remember that day when the great prophet Samuel came to visit my father Jesse there at our house at Bethlehem. And my father greeted him and wondered what brought him to his house. And Samuel said, Jesse, God has told me that he's chosen one of your sons to be the next king of Israel. And so I want your sons to all stand before me in a line, and God will point out to me which one he has chosen. So it is that all my brothers stood before the prophet Samuel. I was not there because they thought that surely one of my older, stronger brothers would be the next king of Israel. And so I was still out taking care of the sheep. And so when Samuel went through the line, he looked at each one. He said, no, it is not this one. No, it is not that one. And when he finally reached the end of the line, he had a puzzled look on his face. And he said, Jesse, do you not have any other sons? And my father said, well, yes, but he's the youngest. He's out taking care of the sheep. Well, call him in and have him come and stand before me. And only then was I called in to stand before Samuel. And when I did, Samuel said, yes, this is the one God has chosen. Because God does not look upon things like man does. God looks upon the heart. And so it was that God would prove to me in a most dramatic way a short time later how he gives strength to the weak. For the Philistines had drawn up battle lines at Aphek, the field of blood. And the men of Israel went out to engage them in battle. But when they arrived at the place where the battle lines had been drawn, the men of Israel stopped dead in their tracks because they found that the Philistines had a secret weapon, a great big powerful giant of a man by the name of Goliath. He stood 9 feet 2 inches tall. He had a helmet and body armor of bronze that weighed 125 pounds, not even including his leg armor. He had a sword at his side. He had a spear in his hand. He had a javelin slung around his neck. And he stood and he shook his fist at the men of Israel and said, choose your champion today and have him come out and fight me one-on-one, win or take all. But none of the men of Israel dared take him up on that challenge. Not my brothers who were in the army, and not even King Saul, who himself was the tallest man in all Israel. And so it is that day after day, the challenge continued to be offered. And day after day, the challenge went unanswered. And finally, my father called me in from the field and said, David, here, take this food to your brothers and see how the battle's going. I think he feared that something really terrible had happened, since no word was coming back from the battle line. And so when I took the food and went to the place where the battle was supposed to be happening, I couldn't believe my eyes. Here was this oversized bag of wind standing there, shaking his fist in defiance against the army of the living God, and no one had the backbone to stand up to him. And so I went to my brothers and I said, why don't one of you take care of this? What are you fighting? And they all turned their noses up at a sneer and they said, what's a runt like you got to do with anything like this? You're good for nothing except to take care of our father's sheep. So why don't you go back and do that and leave real fighting to real men? Well, I knew my brothers well enough to know that they talked big, but they weren't going to do anything about this. And so I went to King Saul himself. And I said, I want to fight that man. He said, you can't fight him. You're nothing but a boy. He's been a fighting man from his youth up. I said, but the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the mouth of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He said, well, at least take my body armor. But I tried it out and said, no, I'll just take my shepherd's pouch and sling. And off I went, pausing only long enough to pick up some smooth stones along the way. And when I approached the scene where the battle lines had been drawn, here came Goliath out for his daily challenge. And I stepped forward. And you could just see the anger welling up inside of him. And he said to the men of Israel who were cowering in the shadows with fear, he said, am I a dog that you should send a boy out to fight me with sticks? And then he looked at me and he said, I'm going to feed your flesh to the beasts and the birds, boy. But I looked at him and I said, you come out to fight me with a sword, a javelin, and a spear, but I come out to fight you in the name of the God whose army you have defied. And he moved against me for the attack. But I just calmly loaded one of the stones into the shepherd's sling, and I started to wind it tighter and tighter and faster around my head, and I finally let it rip. And it found its mark, and the great champion of the Philistines fell to the ground with a thunderous crash. But I want you to know that it was not I who won the battle that day. It was God who gives strength to the weak. And I want to ask you for a moment, what giant are you fighting in your life right now? Maybe some great giant of temptation that you don't think you could ever say no to, that you could ever conquer that giant. Or maybe it's some great tragedy that's happened in your life and you don't think you could ever get over it, and it's just standing over you with its foot on your neck, and you don't know what you're going to do. Well, never forget that whenever you are weak, he is strong. And you need to turn to the one who specializes in giving strength to the weak. That's why I'm thankful to God as well. Why am I thankful to God? I'm thankful because he gives me encouragement in times of deep distress and grief. Well, when I defeated Goliath, the people had this silly song that they began to sing. Saul has killed his thousands, but David is tens of thousands. And so the people made me out to be some greater hero than the king himself. And Saul was a proud man, and he just couldn't take it. He couldn't take having somebody more popular than he. And so one day when I was playing music for him there in the palace, he tried to nail me to the wall with his spear, but I escaped out the window, and off I went from that day on, trying to stay one step ahead from the troops of King Saul who were out to get me, to find me, to track me down as if I were some wild animal and kill me. I tried to stay one step ahead of them, and there were times in which it looked like I was not going to escape. I'd be on one side of the mountain path and they'd be on the other, and if I had just stumbled for a moment, they would have caught up to me and killed me. There were friends of mine who came out to support me, but it was too dangerous for us to leave our families in the city, and so we had to bring them with us. But we also had to live in rocks and caves and holes in the ground. And let me tell you, that's no way to raise a family. It was a miserable, miserable existence for month on end. We didn't know what we were going to do. And then suddenly something happened. I had a king in the area who made friends with me. And he gave me a gift. He gave me the gift of a city. Now, how would you like to have someone give you a city? Well, he gave me the city of Ziklag. Now, I know that Ziklag doesn't sound like much of a city to you. But to us, it became home. It became a place where we could raise our families and have a sense of safety and security at a very dangerous time. And so things began to look up for us. And we began to feel better about things. And so much so that one day my men and I went out on a little expedition, and we left our families there in Ziklag where we thought that they would be safe. But while we were gone, the very worst thing that could possibly have happened, happened. A band of Amalekite raiders came through the area and burned Ziklag to the ground. And they took everything that we had, including our families. And off they went, who knows where. And when we came back and we found our homes burned to the ground, and we found everything we had gone, and we found our families gone, I'm not ashamed to tell you, here we were, battle-hardened soldiers, and we lifted up our eyes and we wept and we wept and we wept and wept until there were just no more tears to cry. And my men began to blame me. They said, "Where's this God of yours? We thought he was on your side. We thought he had chosen you to be king. Why has he let you down? Why has he let us down?" And I never felt so alone in my life. And at that moment in which my life seemed to be at the lowest ebb, I did the one thing you have to do when you're in a situation like that. You know what it is? I encouraged myself in the Lord. I encouraged myself in the Lord. I had no one else to encourage me. And so I took encouragement from the fact that God was still in my life. God was still there at my side. He was still there for me. And even if the worst were to happen and we never find our families again, I still had God. And God would take care of me, and he would take care of my needs. And so I took encouragement from that. And because of the faith I showed at that moment, God led us to the one person in all the world who would be able to help us get our families back. And of all people, it turned out to be an Amalekite slave that had been thrown away by his masters. He was too sick to keep up with this fast-moving band of raiders who were trying to get out of the area before we returned. And so because they thought he would be dead soon anyway, they just threw him away at the side of the road as if he were a piece of trash. But we found him alive, and we nursed him back to health, and he told us where the Amalekite camp could be found. And we sneaked up on them, and we caught them by surprise, and we won a great victory, and we found our family safe and secure once again. Now let me tell you, not everything in life has a happy ending like that, right? Sometimes things really go terribly wrong, and it seems like nothing can ever solve that problem. You lose someone close to you that you can't get back. You lose everything that seems to be dear to you, and you wonder, what are you going to do? And nobody is there for you. No one is there to support you. No one is there to encourage you. Well, whenever you're faced with that kind of a situation, remember to do the one thing that I learned to do on that dark day. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And so I give him thanks because he gave me encouragement in my day of deep distress and grief. Why am I thankful to God? I'm thankful because he forgives me of my sins. King Saul died at the Battle of Mount Gilboa, and I became the king of Israel, and I served God in that position as king for many years. But then one day, one spring, I sent my troops out on a military campaign, but I stayed in Jerusalem. And one evening after supper, I went out onto the balcony of my palace and I looked out over the great city of Jerusalem, which I had made. And I saw something that I wish I had never seen. And if I had to do it all over again, I would have turned around and walked back into my room and tried to put it out of my mind. But I didn't. I saw a woman bathing. And I became filled with lust for her. And I made arrangements for her to be brought to me. And I'm ashamed to say this, but if talking to you about this will help you deal with sin in your life, I feel like I have to tell you, I committed adultery with her. And then I tried to cover it up. I tried to pretend like it wasn't all that bad. I tried to make excuses. But it was eating me up inside. And this went on for months. And finally, maybe about a year later, I had a visitor, a friend come by. And I was always glad to see him. He was Nathan the prophet. He had good stories to tell, and he told me about things that were going on in my kingdom that I needed to know about. And so I greeted him with a smile, and I said, "Nathan, what's going on that you want to tell me?" And he said, "Your Majesty, there is something you need to know. For there are two men who are neighbors, and one is very rich and has many flocks of sheep and many herds of cattle. But the other man is very poor, and he has nothing at all except one little ewe lamb, and even that's a pet for his children that eats and sleeps with his children. And one day the rich man had company, and not wanting to take one of his many sheep or one from among his herds, he went over and he took the poor man's little ewe lamb and he butchered it and he served that to his guests. And I know that anybody who saw me at that moment saw my face turn red with anger more than I've ever been angry before. And I said, Nathan, surely as the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing is worthy of death. And so it was that Nathan, good friend that he was, pointed his finger straight at me. And he said, King David, you are that man. You took another man's wife. You took his little ewe lamb and you sentenced yourself. Well, at that moment, all this guilt that had been building up for months just burst like a dam. And I ran off to my room and I threw myself down on the floor and I began to weep and I prayed to God and I said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, oh God, according to your tender mercy, according to your loving kindness, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for my sin is always before me, for I sinned against you and you alone, oh God. Cleanse me and I'll be whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be clean. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Restore a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. For the sacrifice that you desire is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart." And that's exactly what I gave God that day, a broken spirit and broken heart. And I'm here to tell you that God forgave me of my sin. Oh, it's not because I was anybody special, not because I was King David, but because of his tender mercy. And he could see my heart was truly filled with pain and repentance. And I want to ask you right now to look inside your heart and see if there's something that you are dealing with that you've been trying to block out, pretend like there is no problem, maybe even laugh about, try to justify, make excuses. You need to do what I did. You cannot take care of this problem until you go to God with a broken heart and ask Him to forgive you. And then you can be thankful like I am that God forgives me of my many sins. Why am I thankful to God? One last thing comes to mind. I'm thankful because He's the shepherd of my soul. King Saul died at the Battle of Mount Gilboa. I became king for 40 years and served God there in Jerusalem in my palace, where I entertained many important dignitaries and took care of much important business, signed documents, took care of government work. But I want to let you in on a little secret. Even while I was doing all of those great things for the kingdom, I never got over my boyhood. I never got over the fact that I was a shepherd boy. And I would often daydream, even in the midst of important business, even while I was entertaining important guests, I would daydream back to the time when I was a shepherd boy. And I want you to know that I was a good shepherd. I really was. If my sheep needed to be fed, I would take them to the greenest pastures I could find. If they needed to drink, I would take them to still waters, because that's the only place that they would drink water from. If there was a sheep that was too weak to keep up with the rest of the flock until we got to the pastures or to the water, then I would open up a little pouch, a leather pouch called a shakan, a table that I would spread out on the ground with spare fodder and let that little sheep nourish itself. Or if it was too thirsty, I'd let it drink out of my own cup. Or if there was a little lamb that got into the thickets and scratched its face and was in pain, I had a little flask of oil that I would carry with me, and I would put that oil on its head and soothe its pain. In all the midst of all this going on, I could see out of the corner of my eyes wolves and bears and lions who wanted to get to those sheep, but they knew they couldn't because I was there to protect them. And one day, as I was thinking about all these things, something wonderful occurred to me. Oh, I guess I had thought about it before, but not like I did at that moment. And I rushed back to my room and I began to write down the words of a song that I would teach my people to sing. Here are the words. Maybe you've heard them before. Here they are once again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, it occurred to me that I'm a sheep and I have a shepherd, and He takes care of my every need, and I give Him thanks for that. Well, these are some of the many reasons why I give thanks to God. He's the creator of the beauty of the heavens and the earth. He's the rock of my salvation. He gives me strength when I'm weak. He gives me encouragement in times of deep distress and grief. He forgives me of my sins, and He's the shepherd of my soul. I must leave you now. But as I do, I leave you with these words that I taught my people to sing so long ago on that very special day. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures into all generations. May the goodness and mercy and truth of Almighty God rest upon your souls both now and forevermore. Amen.
I pray that David's message will prepare your heart for Thanksgiving this week as you celebrate with your loved ones. We have so much for which to be grateful. And if you have questions about Western Hills Church of Christ, or if you'd like to find out about becoming a follower of Jesus or being baptized, would you give me a call at 251-2232? I'll be happy to speak with you about those things or others if you have questions.